huge welcome to you all from Meagle and Ardler Community Development Trust to our new podcast series. We hope you love our podcast name of Blethers from Matt the Pict. We had a fierce internal competition to come up with the name, and isn't it just perfect for Meagle and Ardler? To kick off our series, we have a great interview lined up today about a new book that will be available to purchase very soon, and which has been written by a local Perth and Kinross author, Mike Dales. If you have any topics or speakers that you would like us to talk about or speak to in the future, then please just let us know. But let's get going with Mike's interview, because I know I'm super excited to learn all about it. Morning, Mike. Thank you very much for joining us to discuss your new book, and we're very excited about our new podcast series. So the first thing I would like to ask you is, what actually inspired you to think about writing a book, and can you tell us what stage your book is at the moment, please?
Okay, yeah. Well, I started to do an exercise challenge about 7.5 years ago, and there was no sign of a book at that stage. It was just myself and my partner, almost as a New Year's resolution, saying, let's see how many days in the year we can do a 5 kilometre, at least 5 kilometre self-propelled journey. And after about 3 months or so, we were just not missing a day. So we started this unbroken exercise streak of making a 5 kilometre, at least 5 kilometre journey every day. And that meant walking, cycling, running, canoeing, kayaking or skiing every single day. And a year after we started, we just sort of said to a few people that, oh, that's a year gone by now of not missing a day. And shortly after that, one or two people said, oh, that's really amazing, you should write a book about it. And the first few people that said that, I just responded with, oh, don't be so stupid, you know, if I write a book about that, it's just kind of saying, look at me, look what I do. Isn't this amazing? I don't want to do that. But then I started to look around and I thought, actually, we're not unique in this. There's loads of people doing exercise challenges that are way beyond what we're doing in terms of seriousness, how long they've been doing it and so on. But equally, looking in the other direction, there's people that are doing things way more simple than what we're doing. In terms of exercise challenges, there's a great big spectrum, and we're just somewhere in the middle of that. So I actually got more interested in what other people were doing than what I was doing myself. I just kept on doing what I was doing myself, but I was more interested in these people that were going 51 years of not missing a day, running at least a mile a day. Or people that were saying, right, 2 days a week, I'm going to get off the bus one stop early and have a 2 minute longer walk into work. And they were challenging themselves to do that. So then this idea of a book started to come back, and I thought, I know, the book would be more interested if it was in three parts. Part one is just a sort of, this is what I do, to set the scene of where I'm coming from. Part two is a load of other people to show that wide spectrum of what they're all doing, other people. And part three, the pointer suddenly swings to you, the reader. So what are you going to do? So I spent over 3 years writing that book in those three parts. So the book is now written. I've got a really good foreword from someone, but is not yet published. But here I am just sort of talking about little bits of it.
Thank you very much, mate. That's fascinating to understand that background to why you started writing the book. Mm. So thank you for sharing. So how did you decide who you wanted to speak with or interview yourself to fill each of those different sections of your book?
Yeah. The first stage of writing the book was really a lot of thinking as to not just the structure of the book, but you know what I was trying to say in there. And one of the things I thought about right back at the beginning of the exercise was, what are the reasons for for doing more exercise, for setting yourself an exercise challenge. And I guess I came up with three reactive reasons and two proactive reasons. So I'll probably just quickly run through those. That the three reactive reasons were to do with weight, with physical health, and mental health. And the two proactive reasons were, one was sort of for prevention, to prevent one of those other three reasons, or the other one was just for strength and fitness. So I thought, right, I've got five reasons there for why you might take on a challenge. Why don't I go out and find a man and a woman from each of those five? So the 10 main interviews in the book are those 10 combinations. And having interviewed those people in depth and asked them the same six questions, and really the book just contains their interviews, I then go into a sort of quick fire look at what other people have done. So people that I don't know, people that I haven't interviewed, but the 85-year-old woman who said, I'm going to cycle 1,000 miles in the year, and set up a spreadsheet and went out on a bike and did it. So what I hope is that those stories, the in-depth ones and the rapid fire ones, are all very inspirational. And I think that middle section of the book, that what they're doing, the other people are doing, I think that's where anybody reading the book will relate to one person, to one story, and they will think, ah, that woman with the weight problem, that man with the challenge of running to work on Friday. There will be one story that will hit that reader and make them think, that's me, or that could be me. So hopefully the book becomes inspirational for any reader.
That sounds amazing. It's making me think myself, you know, why do I exercise? And there's probably a variety of reasons on any given day or week, you know, why you do exercise. So it'll be really interesting when I can read the book to see if I do relate to any of your interviewees.
Yeah, I think probably the way I just described it there, it does make it sound as if, yes, you will fit into one of these categories. But actually, one of the things I do say in the book is that it doesn't work that way. That, yes, you may have a physical problem, but you probably sort of think, yes, but I want to prevent a weight problem. And actually, there is a sort of a mental health issue there as well. So people don't just come into one of those boxes. And yeah, I do make that point.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense, and I'm sure people will realise that. And, you know, once they go through the book and look at your different chapters of different people, you know, that will make sense. Oh, that's a bit of me as was in the last chapters. So, yeah, really excited to learn more about that when it's published.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, so for our next session, we're just going to lead into talking a little bit more about the actual content of the book itself. So we'll start on that soon. So Mike, it would be really interesting to know a little bit more how you came up with the title for the book.
Yeah. I think I was working on the book for a year and a half before it even had a title. Someone said, don't think of a title because eventually one will just pop out. And that's what happened one day, that I found a quote and I thought, within that quote is the title of the book. And that quote was from Edward Smith Stanley, who was the Prime Minister back in the 19th century. And he said, those who do not find time for exercise will have to find time for illness. Wow. And I thought, within the middle of that sentence is, find time for exercise. And I thought, I've got the title for my book. Thank you, Edward.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Well done. And do you also look at other aspects of a healthy lifestyle in the book as well?
I do, because obviously the book is all about promoting exercise, promoting the benefits of regular exercise, and urging people to find motivation through setting themselves a personal exercise challenge. But there are other aspects apart from exercise. So I do in one chapter say that also consider sleep, hydration, exercise, diet, and stretching. So I do say that really there's those five things to look at. And probably the two main ones are exercise and diet. So I kind of get across the point that really, if you can do something that improves, even just in a small way, each of those five aspects of your life, those five small gains could actually add up to one pretty significant one. So think about all five of them.
That's great. And as somebody who runs myself, you know, perhaps we need reminded of that sometimes.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
good to refocus on those other things that make up
mm-hmm.
a good exercise session or the outcome of your session. So I was just wondering if we could be really lucky and if you would mind reading a short section out of one of your chapters of your book and describe how it fits into the whole book. Would that be all right?
Yeah, I'll try to do that. In the first part of the book where I'm talking about my own exercise challenge, and I'm trying to sort of get people to be realistic, to find motivation. And I think one of the big challenges is getting yourself out there on what I call the bread and butter days. So this short section is taken from a subsection that is called bread and butter. And it goes like this. Like most other active people, I live for the highest quality days, walking along mountain ridges in perfect weather, or cycling 80 or 90 miles with the sea on one side and mountains on the other. But in order to keep this challenge ticking over, I need to keep getting out on days when the weather is far from brilliant. And the easiest and quickest option is just go out from home for a quick 5 kilometer bike ride. I call these the bread and butter days. In culinary terms, I prefer vegetable burrito or fish pie days, but there are days when it's just more realistic to have the exercise equivalent of bread and butter. There are days when I don't even get changed into full cycling gear. I just pop on some cycling leggings and shoes and whiz round my local 5 kilometer loop. In the winter months in particular, I tend to go for a quick ride on the bike at lunchtime, then get back in time for lunch and an afternoon at work. One way that I look at this is that the bread and butter days keep me fit for when those exceptional days comes along. But another way of viewing them is that they sometimes turn up the most amazing experiences on what looked like being a bog standard ride. There are days when I am rewarded for just being out there by a sighting of a red squirrel, or suddenly finding myself cycling behind a sparrowhawk in flight. Or I bump into someone cycling from Ardnamurchan to Lowestoft and just pause for a chat.
Wow. Well, that is really insightful, isn't it? And I can really relate to that, you know, when you're out and about, whether it's walking or running, and you turn a corner and you go, wow, I wouldn't have seen that if I hadn't pushed myself out the door today. So that's really interesting.
And that's like from the section looking at what I do. One of my interviewees that I was talking to, she was enthusing, talking about her running challenge. And she just said, I was out really early this morning and this badger hissed at me. And it just painted a picture. And I just thought, yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. The joys, the little joys,
yeah,
these what we perceive to be hard sessions bring us. So I'd just like to shift the topic slightly. Do you have any thoughts on where the blame lies for the culture of inactivity that we see quite a lot of these days?
Yeah, I do sort of get into that wider debates around exercise And I do think there is a sort of, there is something to blame, and I do look at it a serious issue, but in a light-hearted way, in that I blame the chair, generally things that we sit on for our inactivity culture. So I have a section on the chair, and because of the problems that chairs cause, it could be very serious, but I do try to turn it around a little bit and poke a little bit of fun at it. So if I could just read one very short paragraph, which I think just kind of sums up my feelings for it. The chair really has become the Grim Reaper's new weapon of mass destruction. It's time to recognise that fact and commit to doing something about it. It's time to fight back. Punch your right fist high in the air, rise off the settee in revolt, and stomp away from the computer screen. It's time for us all to question how much time we spend on our backsides and take some positive action to sit less and stand more.
Wow, there's a message if there ever was one. I'm feeling incredibly guilty sitting here in my chair right now.
Let's punch our right fists up and...
Yeah, I'll do that after the interview. So obviously things are slightly different in the current situation with COVID-19, you know, where we're all finding ourselves. Mm. What's your thoughts on exercise particularly at the moment?
Yeah, there is a coincidence of me just completing the writing of this book during lockdown. And I think COVID has been a terrible time and human tragedy, but I think it has raised the profile of this serious issue of inactivity, and I think it has made most of us think about what is important in life. And going back to the height of lockdown, watching TV, listening to the radio, one of the phrases that came across more and more was taking our daily exercise. And daily exercise just hadn't been a sort of widely used term. I'd been writing about it for 3 years, but suddenly it was out there that we were all taking our daily exercise, or meant to be. So I think COVID has at least brought that to the fore, but it also in its wake is going to be a trail of physical and mental health problems and possibly weight problems and so on, but also probably got people thinking about being proactive, about the preventive medicine aspect of regular daily exercise. So we are where we are with COVID. It's certainly raised the issue, which is one good thing anyway.
Yeah, and I live in, you know, a village stroke town, you know, and there's definitely been a lot more people going out, and you can see them on their daily exercise, walk or cycle, which is fantastic to see. And let's just hope, you know, that, that the majority of those people have felt the benefits and can continue.
Yeah, I mean, the road that we were regularly out on, we are anyway, but during that sort of core 2 months or so of lockdown back in March into April into May, the road was just full of people walking, running, cycling. And it was great to see. And it was doing all of those people some benefit. And in terms of looking at other people's stories, you just looked at those people and thought they've all got an individual story as to why they are out there, why they are challenging themselves and getting themselves out of the door.
That's a great way to think about it, Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks for that insight there. So just to finish off, I just thought it would be good to ask you, what do you want the readers to take away, you know, from the knowledge, obviously, you have of your own book?
Yeah, the book finally culminates in a sort of list of 10 principles that emerged through the book. So so hopefully, you know, by the time someone has read the book, they will be motivated to, just at a very basic level, like I just said, sit less, stand more. Also, hope that people sort of just get the idea that Although in the book I talk about some of the extreme end of the spectrum, that people just think, I can just do a little bit more as a start, because what I really want is anyone who reads this book to just do more than they do now. Not to do as much as Ron Hill or did, or what I do, just to do more than they did previously. And just to think about how they can build exercise into their daily lives. And it doesn't have to be thinking, I must go out to do some exercise. It might just be building some more exercise into your commute. More and more of us now are working from home, still having a commute, getting out of the door, going for a walk or a bike ride before and after work, but just thinking how you get out, thinking how to do it through the winter months, because it's very easy to do this April to September, slightly different October through to March. So what do I want people to get out of it? I think really I'm just trying to motivate them and get them to think about building regular exercise into their daily routine.
So those were some great takeaways, Mike. Thanks very much for sharing those. And one final question. How do our listeners get a hold of your book? Where should they go to buy a book from you?
Well, my website is hopefully going to be online and working around the beginning of May 2021. And the book should be available for sale probably around the middle of June 2021. And the website address is findtimeforexercise.com.
That's great. Thank you. And on behalf of the Trust, I would just like to say a huge thank you today for joining us. And we wish you all the very best with your book.
Okay, great. Thank you.